Cambridge 105 Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. This is the Corpus Playroom, 19th to the 21st of July. So, what's it about?
So broadly speaking, it's an improvised comedy, but the theme is all about gods and monsters. And I say it's thematically about gods and monsters. So as much as you may be meeting actual gods that you might recognise, so we play quite a lot with Greek gods that are well known. So our Zeus's and Thor as well, not Greek, but
Zeus's,
Aphrodite.
Your Thor's,
kind of well known gods, and also well known monsters as well. So you might meet a Gorgon. You might meet a kind of Sphinx, that kind of thing. But we're also playing thematically with the idea as well. So, you know, what does it mean to be a monster? What does it mean to be monstrous? So, again, you might meet mortals on quests and that kind of thing. The idea being that maybe internally they're going through something as well. Or maybe they do something that elevates themselves to a kind of godlike status as well.
So why this particular theme?
This theme, we've been... I personally have been in love with myths and legends since I was a kid. I mean, I've actually, for research for this sort of thing, I've got a book that I was given when I was 12 years old by my aunt called The Usborne Guide to Greek Myths and Legends.
Oh, The Usborne Guide, yes.
Beautiful illustrations. And it's just, it's so much fun to play. And like Carla was saying, a lot of our improvisation is very human, and within that we've sort of been building up the different things, and we just sort of elevated and expanded that into gods and monsters. You take the expanded universe almost of this, and we found so much fun playing with those and the different dynamics between them.
Yeah, we really love playing with the idea of non-humans, but as if they are humans. So in previous shows we've had kind of the things on the side of buildings gargoyles come to life and speak as if they are running the commentary that's going on in their mind, and that's kind of really refreshing to see, I think. The other thing was as well, like I had the opportunity recently to do a directing workshop at the Junction, and one of the questions that the director asked was, you know, why do we tell stories? What is the reasoning behind it? And that kind of really intrigued me, and I was thinking, why do we tell stories? Why do we tell myths and legends? And I wanted to kind of explore that a little bit as well in this show. Is like, you know, there's a reason that humans like to commune and come together and tell stories. Maybe we could kind of thread that through as well.
So those are the big themes of the show. I suppose what happens each night changes, because this is improvised. So you in a way, you know no more than that.
No, and that's really exciting. That's one of the great passions of improvisation. It's just we come together and the audience come and bring their ideas and their selves as well, and we just riff off each other, and we put the thing together, we don't know what's going to happen each evening, and the audience don't, and there's that just spark of ingenuity, and which really harks back to the tradition of oral storytelling as well, which we hope to sort of evoke through this piece as well. It's just such a gorgeous fun in the moment, exciting piece.
Yeah, you do get like real moments of just sparks in the moment fun. Like someone will say something quite often accidentally, they'll misslip a word or whatever, like I've just done there.
That's a great word.
And we'll use it. Like if you're a talented group of improvisers, you'll pick up on that error and lovingly and joyfully use that kind of mistake as a brilliant thing to explode out and become something very, very funny.
So to people who've not been to improvisation before, you are guided by suggestions from the audience. And do you guide the suggestions at all?
So in this case, we've decided to take a proverb from the audience, because we wanted something that kind of reflected the theme, the sort of storytelling idea. And proverbs are really nice because they sort of have a little bit of a moral about them, but also they often kind of visual, or they give you objects within them as well. So the last one we did was someone gave us a stitch in time saves nine, and we ended up with a story about a really big tapestry and really interesting characters within that. So
and you say it's exciting, James. Some people would find it terrifying.
There is a fine line, I guess. I mean, personally, we've been playing together quite a lot. I mean, this is our third big theatre show this year as a team, and we've been playing together otherwise than that. And when you sort of you trust the team and you know they'll throw you something really interesting just to play with, and in many respects, I find it a lot safer than scripted theatre, where you know if you make a mistake, then it's harder to get back on. If you make a mistake, like Carla was saying before, it's kind of joyous because you just pick up that joy and you throw and run with it, and it's exciting and terrifying. We all love roller coasters, so I think so. Well, maybe not all of us, but I certainly do, and it's sort of a bit like that.
And you know what you're doing. You've both been trained in improvisation over quite some time. What makes a good improviser?
Oh, gosh. I would say the first skill, the biggest skill, is probably listening, actually.
Yeah.
The ability to be able to just, like, be on the sidelines and be utterly tuned in to what the people are doing on stage, so that you can pick up the threads that are going on, or even make callbacks from scenes, like, three scenes back. Listening is fundamentally, like, the most important thing. I think a lot of people think improv is about, you know, being quick and funny or whatever. Actually, the best improvisers that I admire are the quiet ones. They're the ones who kind of wait, and then they'll just come on and just say the funniest thing that's just been percolating in their head for a little while.
Yeah.
So yeah, listening, I think.
Listening is great, and there's a lovely line which I love, which is part of improv, is making your colleagues look like heroes, which is quite apt for this as well. And that's really quite a joyous thing as well, because again, with the mistake, it's like sometimes you know, people go, oh no, we've made a mistake, and you go, no, that's an amazing thing, look at this joyous shiny thing that we're going to make more joy out of.
And I suppose this being open as well, isn't that open to suggestion, because you must get some, like, really crude suggestions I'm guessing at times, and ridiculous stuff, and you have to work with it.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we're pretty skilled in doing that. We know audiences pretty well, and we kind of prepare ourselves for this by, we've had a few rehearsals where we've just thrown in, like, the, as you say, the crudest and weirdest suggestions that we could think of, and trained ourselves in, like, pulling those out and seeing what would happen, what we could do with them. But there's some skill in kind of manoeuvring it in a place where everybody feels safe and happy, and where the audience feels safe and happy, because it's our responsibility to keep the audience safe and happy as well. But yeah, I mean, you can use them. I think I think our last show was probably the best one. I don't know if I should say lost.
I mean, we've had sort of I don't know, we've had gentle brothels before and stuff, and there are ways and means of doing it, and our improv is very much about the characters as well. So I mean, you can definitely take a crude suggestion. Our brains, through the training, think somewhat tangentially, so you can take even the oddest, most apparently awkward suggestion, and sort of, like Carla says, make the audience feel safe and carried on a journey with
it.
Still honour the suggestion, which is very important as well. It is all about that communication and that working together with us and the audience.
And you say your brains work tangentially. I'm wondering if you train in something like improvisation, it does make your brain think differently. It has impacts on other areas of your life.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, my sort of day job is marketing, so I'm often asked to think outside of the box, think creatively. I think the sort of fundamental thing about improv is that statement, yes and. That's one that you're taught right from the beginning, which is the idea that if somebody comes up with an idea, then you're trying to find a way to say yes to that idea and then also add to it. So actually, improv has a lot of it's involved in business quite a lot as well. So I've written some articles, for example, at work based on the idea of creativity, also based on the idea of what we call benign failure. So improv is based on the idea that it's okay to fail, it's okay to make mistakes, and a lot of entrepreneurs, their mindset is based around the idea that it's okay, it's completely fine to fail. Like, if you think of the amount of failures of Richard Branson and Elon Musk and those kind of guys, you know, it's almost an improv mindset there that, you know, one thing might not work, but you'll pick up something else and that thing will explode. So it's got further reaching kind of things.
Is that, you agree with that, James?
Oh yes, very much so. I mean, just this idea that it is okay to fail, and sort of the whole different attitude towards failure and what have you, and you can pick it up, and it's like, it's okay. I mean, it can be problematic in the moment potentially, but you have a whole different attitude to it. And I mean, without wishing to get too hyperbolic as well, improv has completely changed my mindset, really, and I find myself living a much more joyful life. That
really?
Sounds really hippy-dippy
and
everything, but it is absolutely fundamentally a wonderful thing to be
because
involved
because it's opened you up to suggestion and a different way of thinking.
Because it doesn't say ignore that thing, it says recognize that thing, but also see what else you can do with it. If something goes wrong, you don't ignore it. You look at it and you go, well, theoretically, that wasn't what I was expecting, but what else can we make from this? And that's just, you know, it's quite a nice way to try and live.
And you formed a company, is this right? The Ministry of Unplanned Occurrences, yep. Which is you two guys, and who else?
We've also got Erica Dupuy and Mark Whitehouse in this current show, but the group itself is a bit broader. We've also got wonderful actor Alan Hay, who plays with us from time to time and will also be teching this show.
Have Jess, who's a musician who works with us, Jess Lord. She's sort of produced albums and that kind of thing. And it happens to be that she sings and creates music that's very sort of based around myths and that kind of thing. It's very sort of ethereal. So, we've got her on board doing live music for us as well.
So we come along, we can get everything. We get myths and monsters and gods and music and goodness knows what else will appear on the stage.
Yeah. It's a proper full theatre show. It just happens to be made up on the spot.
So it's at the Corpus Playroom, Gods and Monsters, the 19th to the 21st of July. And you were telling me the wonderful URL for getting tickets is adctheatre.com/gods.
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman, straight to the top. How do you warm up for something like this? How do you prepare?
A lot of silliness.
Yes, before a show, definitely lots of silliness, lots of energy. Bunny is one of our favourite games.
It's just basically a passing the energy game where it's just the words are literally bunny, 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 and it gets faster and faster, and then you just collapse laughing. And then just another one, a standard one for me is, again, which I quite find, again, a bit useful in life, is the box. You literally just, you open a box and find out what's on top of your brain, get rid of all the detritus from the day, and then you find out the really interesting things that are just sort of just below the surface, which is
brilliant. Well, it sounds excellent. Gods and Monsters, Corpus Playroom, 19th to the 21st of July, adctheatre.com/gods.
Yes.
Good luck, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Lovely.
Thank you, Lee.
To talk to you.